In the name of Jesus. The children of Israel continued on their journey, their desert wandering by way of their baptism. For it was in those Red Sea waters that they had been made God's children. It was through those Red Sea waters that they had been delivered from the land of death and slavery, baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But after years and years of travel, they hadn't gotten very far. And so it is with our pilgrim journey. Our progress is so often slow, meandering, and chalked with setbacks. Sanctification is not a jet plane. It's not a high-speed rail taking you to the next terminal, nor even a moving walkway. At least that's the existential paradox of our existence. In the deepest sense, sanctification is now full and complete. For we really do love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. And even now we have the heart and mind of Christ. But the way our sanctification plays out in our daily life, it's more like dragging luggage up the down escalator, catching the wrong train, and arriving at the gate just as the door is closing on a connecting flight to Detroit. Or at least that's the way it can feel. And we hate ourselves for it. That's our old self. The self we wake up to in the morning, the self that stares us in the Monday morning mirror. The story of Israel's desert wandering should sound familiar to you, the kind of story that we might call for a psychologist as well as a priest. A counselor might tell us the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And so it was with Israel, the wayward child. And so it is with us. We could almost hear the sound of our Heavenly Father smacking his head, almost hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Could you not watch with me for just 1 hour? Having eyes to see, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Are your hearts still hardened? Is your neck still stiff?" The story of Israel, as the TV show says, is the story of us. God saves his people. Grateful for a day, they rejoice. They come back into the Lord's house and they remember the exodus from death to life. But then, looking at their lives, their wives, and their paychecks, they grumble and complain. They sit and sulk. And then, while idly shaving wood, they find themselves carving a lucky charm here and an idol there. Before you know it, they're worshiping a golden calf and sacrificing their children to Baal. And having taken the matter that far, it's no longer simply a question of spiritual growth. It's a spiritual death spiral. And it happens across the generations. Perhaps we see it in our own children and our grandchildren and in ourselves. That's the story of us, writ large and small among our people, in the empty pews and on our own empty hearts. Well, what was the Israelites' problem du jour? Well, today the Israelites complain, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and water, and we loathe this worthless food." If you don't understand this, well, then you've never been a parent or a kid. "Mom, I'm hungry, and there's nothing to eat but leftover spaghetti and a peanut butter sandwich. Nothing to drink but milk. We have no food at all." But then we might ask, what food was in Israel's pantry? Well, we know. They were complaining about the manna, the heavenly bread that gave earthly nourishment. But for the Israelites, the heavenly bread was not enough. And that, too, is the story of us. There is no food, and we hate this food. Which pastor hasn't had to listen to this lament from his own people? What pastor hasn't himself complained in a similar manner? Why is my life so lousy? Why do others have it better? And do we really need communion every Sunday, and why does it take so long? Our complaints, earthly and spiritual, overlap, as they always do. And to answer this complaint, our Lord sends a plague, as he did upon Egypt. Do plagues accomplish anything? Well, yeah. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but many in Egypt came to believe in the God of Israel. And so our Lord sent a plague upon Israel, this time in the form of venomous snakes. They bit the people, and many people died. desperate measures for desperate times. But how else to get their attention? And it worked, brought them to their senses. And they came to Moses, their high priest, and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord would take the snakes away from us." And Moses, the intercessor, did just that. And the Lord said to Moses, as you know, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who was bitten can look at it and live. He who knew no sin became sin, that he might draw all people unto himself. And in this way God loved the world." Yes, look at that bronze serpent. And again, it's like looking in that Monday morning mirror. But all too often when we look at the mirror, we see ourselves and we make resolutions and then we walk away and immediately forget what we look like. But not in this season of Lent. We have to look again. Now we must gaze upon that serpent, the self we wish would go away. Except now, as we look, that mirror is made perfect. Now we look into the perfect law, and miraculously it gives freedom and healing. And in that perfect mirror, the mirror of love, we see Christ himself taking the form of our sin. In that law, in that serpent, we see love divine, the life of Christ, the law lived out for us in mercy. So what does the Christian life look like here in the wilderness? It looks like the Eucharist, thanksgiving. It is eating the heavenly bread with thanksgiving, rejoicing in the bread that brings his presence. We ask our Father for an egg and a fish, and he gives us his Spirit. We pray for the daily bread, and he makes us heavenly minded. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We may well worry about what we will eat or drink or what we will wear, but when we pray for clothing, he gives us the garment of his righteousness. And when we pray for bread, he gives us the bread that strengthens us for the journey into the promised land. And that cross beam that hits us on the head like a 2x4 starts to look a lot like salvation. And that serpent, that man who bears our sins, starts looking a lot like our Savior. And all that's left is Eucharist, the bread from heaven. And as we eat, we're no longer wandering, no longer fighting the escalator and dragging our baggage. Our journey is complete, and we're right where we belong. We've reached our destination, and we're at home with our Lord. Amen.